In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, yes. The Word of God brings light into our life. Oh, the Word of God. I was speaking to a young man named Brian today, and he said, "Thank you for your ministry. I tell you, we need to preach the gospel. We need to let people know that there is only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ and his cross and his blood and his resurrection. I tell you, no man comes to the Father unless they are drawn by Jesus Christ the Lord." I'm looking at Mark 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was home. He's in Peter's house. The master is home. What do you think is going to happen? Because he's home in Peter's house, people are going to come. People that are hard up, people that need a touch from God, people that are sick, people that are deaf, people that are blind. I tell you, they filled the house as well as filled outside the door. How we need to know that Jesus is still in the healing ministry. Today, the final prayer at Mass was, "We have just received the healing sacrament of the Holy Eucharist." Yes, the Holy Eucharist is Jesus himself. He is the healing sacrament. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. Oh, would that happen in Holy Rosary? Would that be wonderful? And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. These friends, these four friends, I want friends like this that carry me and bring me to Jesus. They took off the tiles on top of the roof and lowered down the mat in front of Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, whose faith? The faith of the four men that brought this paralytic to Jesus, lowering down from the roof in front of the feet of Jesus. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" We see that not only does Jesus forgive sins, but in the 20th chapter of St. John, he breathes on them, the apostles, and says, "Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven, whose sins you retain shall be retained." Therefore, we have the sacrament of penance. At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. In other words, he has no right to forgive sins. He's not God. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk'? I tell you, Jesus is going to do the miracle, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I tell you, this should be happening in every church. I received a note yesterday that at least I read on the radio that some child that had eating problems was healed. Anorexia, healed. I tell you, God is still in the healing business. The church believes that through her prayers. And the whole experience of healing comes especially through the Eucharist. I'm looking at chapter 2, verse 13. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, Matthew, son of Alphaeus, sitting in his tax booth. He was a tax collector. I tell you, they hated tax collectors because there were Jews working for Rome to collect taxes for Rome. He was sitting at his tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. Immediately he follows Jesus. This is wonderful. What kind of power did the eyes of Jesus have that Matthew would leave his tax booth and immediately follow Jesus Christ? How we need to know that we should immediately follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the Lord. Because he is the Lord. And as he sat at dinner in Matthew's or Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus loved this kind of stuff. Tax collectors and sinners. Oh, he'll preach the gospel. He might tell them about the prodigal son. Oh, yes. Or the lost sheep. Oh, yes. Or the lost coin. He will tell them a story that sinners need to be saved through the cross of Jesus Christ ultimately. For there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does this man eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Because Jesus has come to seek and save that which was lost. When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." But the scripture tells us, no man is righteous, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Pharisees thought that they were righteous. They need Jesus just as much as the tax collectors need Jesus. They do not know their need. They know their religion, but they do not know the faith to follow Jesus. There were a couple of Pharisees, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, that followed Jesus and knew that he was Messiah. There were a couple. The question about fasting, chapter 2:18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" See, they're always trying to catch Jesus, but there's no catching of Jesus. He's the Lord. He knows everything. Listen to what he says. Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them." Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. The bride calls out to the bridegroom, "Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, even though my sins are red as scarlet, I come to you. I come to you for forgiveness. I go to confession and receive absolution. The bridegroom is with them, and can they fast? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. Oh yes, in the ascension. And then they will fast on that day. I wonder how many of us fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. I wonder. I don't. I'm on a protein diet, but I need to fast myself, because now the bridegroom has been taken to heaven, and it's time to fast either on a Wednesday or a Friday. Those are 2 days that the church fasts. No one sews a piece of unshrinking cloth on an old cloak. That's right. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and there is a worse tear that is made. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine will be lost. And so are the skins. But man puts new wine into fresh wineskins. I tell you, we need to put the new wine of grace into the wineskins of God's mercy. Oh yes, the new wine of grace. I tell you, we are under the grace of God. We are under the power of His name. We are under the grace of God. New wine, the grace of God, in new wineskins. Yes, I want to put them, the grace of God, into the wineskins of the mercy of God. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. Now they're doing it on the Sabbath. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" In other words, trying to catch Jesus. But you're not going to catch Jesus. He's the Lord. Listen to what he says. And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and he ate the bread of the presence." This is the shows us the coming of the bread of the presence in the Eucharist. Oh yes, they ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some of this to his companions. When he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for men, and not men for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Do you know that? That the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Lord even of the Sabbath. But now we need to fast. We need to fast and do what we need to do. Fast for sinners that do not know the gospel. You know, with these readings, I say to the people who have sinned to the nth degree, God is calling you today to come to Him, come to Jesus, and be free of your sin. Go to confession and be free of your sin. That's what's necessary. And I tell you, we need to know that God forgives sins. Jesus forgives sins today through the church. Hallelujah. Through the church, through the ministry of the church. Chapter 3 of Mark. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man there who had a withered hand, they watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath. You see, they're always looking to have Jesus under the law. But Jesus is not under the law. Jesus is under grace. Under grace. And the wineskin is the mercy of God. He pours out mercy on people. And he heals out of mercy. Mercy. These are mercy healings. When God heals people with mercy healings. I prayed the other day for someone in the congregation, his leg, which was hurting him, and he wasn't able to walk well. He usually says his prayers walking. I said a simple little prayer, and he said, well, God healed me. I went to Costco's yesterday and walked all around, and no pain in this leg. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, come forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? He asked them a question. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save lives or to kill? But they were silent. Oh yes, they were hypocrites. They were silent. They did not answer the call. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart. Oh yes, the law has been replaced with grace, and the wineskins is the mercy of God. These people want nothing to do with grace. They want to condemn Jesus because of the law. I tell you, Jesus said he is Lord even of the Sabbath. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him, because he healed on the Sabbath. I tell you, every day is a healing day in the presence of God. As I said, the last prayer today at Mass was, we have received the healing sacrament. Oh, yes. We have received the healing sacrament. We need to know that God wants to heal his people. Oh, yes, with medicine. I have no problem with medicine. But also through the laying on of hands. You shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. Jesus said that to us. Not only to his disciples, you shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. You know, it took me a long time to see people getting healed. I just did it because Jesus told me to lay hands on people, and I prayed. But now it's much more apparent. People get healed immediately. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. We pray for Brian today, who called me, that God would bestow on him the gift of holiness through the coming of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. The gift of holiness. Oh, yes. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea. And what happens? A great multitude from Galilee followed him. They all want a touch. They're sick. They're broken. They're needy. They come where Jesus is. They all want a touch. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea, from Jerusalem, from Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and the region of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because the crowd was there and would crush him, for he had cured many. So all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him. I tell you, we need to touch Jesus. And what touches Jesus? Our faith. Our faith touches Jesus. I prayed with Donna the other day, 93 years old, who was going to have a hip operation. And I prayed the blood of Jesus. And her daughter said, She will never forget your prayer. And while they were operating, she felt the prayers of people hovering over her. Oh yes, the prayers of people hovering over her. It is so important to pray for the sick. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, "You are the Son of God." The demons know Jesus is the Son of God. Oh yes, they know he is the Son of God, but he wants no PR from the devil or from the demons. "You are the Son of God," but he sternly ordered them not to make him known. In other words, shut up. Shut up. Jesus went up the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. I love that. He called to himself those whom he desired. Do you know that Jesus desires you today? You say, "But I'm so filled with sin." Go to confession. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Get rid of it. You say, "But I'm not worthy." Neither am I. Only the Lamb of God is worthy to receive glory and power and honor and adoration. Oh yes, he is the only one that is worthy. Do you know that today? Don't look at your sin thinking that God can't forgive you. Because if God can't forgive you, that means you are God. God's mercy is for you today. You who are the tax collectors and sinners, how we need that God would do something in our lives, especially to forgive us. How we need to be forgiven so that we would be able to forgive others. Oh, it's all about forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit between the dates of July 14th to the 20th. Save the dates, July 14th to the 20th, the School of the Holy Spirit. I will be there, Maria Vadia will be there, Tyler Johnson and guests, Michael McDuffie will do the music, Michelle Akers will also be there with us. I tell you, save the dates of July 14th to the 20th. This is a great and awesome experience that people have when they come to the School of the Holy Spirit. People all around the world are asking Maria to do a school for them, a School of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I am impotent. I need God, the Holy Spirit, and I need him today. I don't only need him at Pentecost, I need him today, because without him, I have nothing. And he is the forgiveness that God gives to us. He is the forgiveness that God gives to us. We are forgiven through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Eucharist becomes Eucharist through the power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the sick heals the sick through the power of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, our sins are forgiven at the sacrament of penance through the power of the Holy Spirit. How we need that power, and how we need to stop thinking that we're too sinful to be forgiven. How we need to know that Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors, and he wanted them for his own. Oh yes, he had his fishing rod out that day. He was fishing for the sinners and tax collectors. Do you know that today? Are you one of them today? Then surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray with me. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from sin. Jesus, heal me in my body, in my soul, and in my spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.